Joining me now to talk childcare and healthcare in the regions is Federal Member for Barker, Tony Passon. Welcome, Tony.
Morning, Jenny.
Let's start with childcare, a growing concern for locals in your electorate, I hear.
It is. I mean, we are now fully aware of the childcare deserts around the country, but in particular in Barker. And I've got to say, myself and local councils in the community have been in front of this issue. We managed to couple together funding for the Lamoureux, Pinneroo and Caroonda communities to develop childcare facilities, also funding promised for the Kingston community, but the reality is more needs to be done. And I was really hopeful that the Labor Party policy around childcare would see the issue of accessibility addressed, but I've got to say, Jenny, I was dismayed where I saw that the Labor Party is spending $4.2 billion subsidising childcare for wealthy families, and by that I mean families who have an income above $350,000 and below $500,000. Providing subsidised childcare for those people, I think, is a wrong priority, a misguided one, when people in my electorate can't even get children into childcare because there aren't enough places. So in a contest between accessibility and affordability, I think we should always lean into accessibility. And $4.2 billion is a lot of money, and unfortunately, it's not going to deliver one single extra place for childcare in Barker or indeed across the nation.
Right. So, yes, we've heard the phrase childcare desert before. A third of Australian families living in areas where they aren't really able to access a place for their child or you know, very limited opportunities for childcare. Is that, what's your knowledge of this and what would you like to see done differently?
Yeah, there are childcare deserts right throughout my electorate where people simply can't put their children into childcare. As a result, they can't go to work. There are other places, Jenny, where childcare is provided out of the boot of a car. Now, nobody in a metropolitan setting would accept that. Nobody would accept dropping their kids off at the local footy club for some service provider to arrive with a van full of play equipment. And regional communities shouldn't have to accept that either. And I'm pleased that the government is prioritising childcare, but it's rubbish to call it cheaper childcare, which is their catchphrase at the moment, because it is cheaper childcare if you earn between $350,000 and $500,000 as a household. Now, my argument to anyone who wants to have it with me is that those households earning above $350,000 and below $500,000, can afford their own childcare. What we need is to provide capital to build childcare facilities to address the deserts.
Mm. With us at the moment is Member for Barker, Tony Passon. And, you know, it's been an issue for a long time, but leaders in general practice, particularly in regional areas, saying that the sector is at breaking point. There's been an emergency summit in Canberra this week. What's your understanding of what the situation is on the ground for doctors?
Well, over the course of the last three or so weeks, I've met with GPs across my electorate, including GPs at the Bridge Clinic, and they feel as though they're at breaking point. Jenny, the problem here is that they don't have a ready-made stream of junior doctors coming in to provide some of, to provide them with some relief. Many of them are working 80 hours a day, and they don't see any end to that because increasingly young people or young trainee doctors don't see general practice as attractive, principally because they're looking at the older GPs who are exhausted and saying, well, that's not a future we want. On top of that, the GP practices are facing real pressures. Costs are increasing at the same time as the Medicare rebate is stagnant. And so they're working longer for less, with high levels of frustration and exhaustion. So what we heard at the summit this week is exactly what I'm hearing from GPs locally, and the solutions, quite frankly, in the short term has to be about the Labor Party considering in government seriously increasing the Medicare rebate.
Isn't that something that your party decreased, though?
Well, it's something that over the course of a number of years we put a freeze on, that's right. But that was at a time, Jenny, where we didn't have rampant inflation costs were reasonably stable, prices were reasonably stable. We now have situations where, in the case of one clinic I met, their staff have told the doctors and have, in fact, negotiated with the doctors around a 6% wage increase per annum. And the doctors and partners in that GP practice had to meet that demand, otherwise they'd lose their staff. Now, those weren't the settings before. And so the reality now is we need to recalibrate the Medicare rebate. And that's a matter for government. If there is another way to address this, I'd like to see it. But all I've seen so far is a couple of things that make this situation worse. One, Labor has reduced the number of consults that can occur over the phone. Now, that's a really efficient and convenient way to see your doctor, and GP practices embraced it wholeheartedly during COVID, so that's telemedicine. But the more substantive change was the change in terms of area designation. So foreign doctors who come to the country, which is one of the ways we can deal with this shortage, but prior to a recent decision by the Labor Party, one of the first ones they took when coming to government, were required to go into areas where there was a strong shortage of doctors. Now, those were principally rural, regional and remote communities. That area designation now having been changed, you can work in Murray Bridge, but you could also work in Manham, or Marion, I should say, in Adelaide. So foreign doctors are not going to be encouraged to go and work at Manham or Murray Bridge when they can work at Marion. And so that change has made this situation worse. We need to make this situation better, not worse. And I just don't understand why a difficult situation, a bad situation, is being made worse by these policy decisions.
In more positive news in the region, Tony Passan, the Wellington Reserve is opening tomorrow. You'll be there. What's in store?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Jenny. It's the opening of the Wellington Reserve, which, courtesy of the local council, has had a refurbishment. That was provided, occurred because of $445,000 in federal government funding. It's provided a new floating pontoon, new toilets, new barbecue facility and shelters and landscaping. And from 11 a.m. tomorrow at the official opening through to about 3 p.m, there's a free community event. There's a free barbecue lunch cooked by the Tail and Bend Lions Club. I'm looking forward to canoeing for the first time since I think my year 8 or 9 camp at school, because there's a come and try canoeing run by the Canoe the Coorong. The Department of Infrastructure will have marine safety officers there to talk about boating licences, life jackets, water safety, and also the 1 million turtles project via Landscapes SA, Murraylands and Riverlands Citizen Science Project. There'll be a discussion around that. So if you're after something to do tomorrow, looking for a free lunch, looking to have a look, keen to check out what the council's done at Wellington East Reserve, get down there at 11 and we'll have some fun together. You might even see your local politician pour himself into a canoe and hopefully not fall out.
We'll see what happens, eh? Wear some waterproof clothes.
I'll bring a wetsuit.
Thanks, Tony Passan.
No worries. Have a good day.